Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tracy McIntosh. I'm a first-year resident of PGY1, as we learned earlier, at Yale School of Medicine, Yale New Haven Hospital in Emergency Medicine. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you my work that I did as part of my medical school thesis entitled Socially Perceived Race, a Significant Determinant of Health and Healthcare Outcomes. I have no conflicts of interest, no disclosures. So my presentation this afternoon, I'm going to spend some time introducing you to the concept of socially perceived race, review the objectives of the study design, and finish up with the results of the study, conclusions, and implications for you and I for research and healthcare provision. So I pose this question to you as a group. Is race in the eye of the beholder? We all, I think, appreciate that racial disparities exist in healthcare, and healthcare services, and healthcare outcomes. And indeed, you know, we're here with a theme of social justice, trying to address many of these disparities that exist. And I want to introduce you to some of my friends. This is the 2010 Yale SNMA graduating class. SNMA stands for the Student National Medical Association. This is a group of minority students, self-identified minority students, working to improve the health of minority communities locally and globally. And you know, as you take a look at this picture, I mentioned that these are all self-identified minorities. As you look at the faces, though, I wonder, how would you classify all these folks? Thinking, you know, specifically about some of these, you know, these lighter-skinned folks, what race would you assign to them? And how do you think the rest of society sees these people, and what are the interactions that they have because of the color of their skin? And going from there, variability in phenotypic characteristics exists. As I mentioned, everyone self-identifies as a minority, but how are they perceived by the rest of society? And as such, although all these individuals would have checked that box that they are self-identified minorities, what does that capture truly their experiences with the rest of society? And as a correlate, does the self-identification, does that obscure differences that may exist within the group of minorities? So our study objective was to characterize socially perceived race and to operationalize it so that we can study it in our work. And as I just mentioned, given that racial minorities are not monolithic, can we examine disparities that exist within minority groups, individuals who self-identify as minorities? To do this, we examine differences in reported healthcare discrimination and differences in health services utilization. To investigate our research questions, we utilized the Behavior Risk Factor Surveillance System. We did a cross-sectional analysis. The BRFSS is an annual cross-sectional survey conducted by the CDC. It's a telephone, random digit dialing telephone survey. We chose the 2004 year because this is the year that there was the greatest sample size for this optional reactions to race module that was introduced in 2002. And we looked at the concept of socially perceived race as characterized by the following question. How do other people usually classify you in this country? And people chose one of the following 9 answers: white, black or African American, Hispanic or Latino, Asian, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, American Indian or Alaska Native, some other group, don't know, not sure, and refused. So we further operationalized this variable as follows. If someone reported that they self-identified as white, and that in that later question that they felt that they were classified by others as white, then they are recategorized as someone who was white. Similarly, if someone self-identified as being black, African American, Hispanic, Asian, Native Hawaiian, or other, Pacific Islander, or other, and they felt that they were classified by others similarly, then they were classified in our study as minority. And finally, if somebody self-identified as an racial ethnic minority, but felt that they were classified by others as white, this was our third category, minority white. Okay. By way of an example, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, because this is really the crux of the research that we did. Here's my friend Lindsay, Hungarian-German background. She self-identifies as white. This is my friend Dane, mixed race. Here's me, mixed race. We both self-identify as minorities. using this question that we had in our survey, both of these folks, Dane and Lindsay, say they're classified by others as white, and I think that other people look at me and see me as a minority. And how this breaks down in our study population, we had 25,913 folks classified as white-white, 929 in the minority white group, and 6,837 in the minority-minority group. There was a small proportion, less than 1%, who actually were self-identified as white and felt others classified them as minority. And although this is an interesting group, because it was such a small sample and it wasn't really part of our core hypothesis, they were excluded, but it's an interesting group to study as well. So our dependent variables, we were looking at health outcomes, whether an individual reported having their own physician or a medical home, whether they reported experiencing healthcare discrimination in the previous 12 months, and we looked at specific health outcomes, immunizations, age-appropriate immunizations as classified by the CDC adult immunization schedule, and cancer screening using the American Cancer Society guidelines. So our sample characteristics. The white-white group tended to be older. A greater proportion of the minority white group was female, 67%. The trend was significant. A greater proportion of the white-white group was employed, 60%. A greater proportion of the white-white group had completed high school or further education, 92%. Only 81% of the minority-minority group had completed high school, and the minority white group in between had intermediate rates, 84%, and all those relationships were statistically significant at 0.001. Similarly for medical insurance, 90% of the white-white participants had medical insurance, only 80% of the minority-minority group did, and again, this minority white group was in between, 83%, and that was significant from either the minority-minority group and the white-white group, so a distinct population. Looking at our other health outcomes, we found that anyone who self-identified as a minority was less likely to have a physician. So we see that 80% of the minority-minority group in the middle and the minority white group reported having a personal physician. There was no difference between those groups, and that was less than the white-white group where 87% reported having their own physician. Next, looking at reporting healthcare discrimination, we found that the minority-minority group was almost twice as likely to report experiencing discrimination in the healthcare setting compared to the minority white group, where it was about 5%. This was statistically significant. And the white-white group, about 2% reported experiencing healthcare discrimination. So all those relationships were statistically significant. Sorry. Finally, looking at immunizations, we see that the minority-minority group was less likely to receive both influenza and pneumococcal immunizations compared to the minority-white group. So looking at influenza first, 55% of minorities received immunization compared to 70% of minority whites and compared to 73% of white whites. And the difference between the white-white group at the left and the minority white group was not significant, so they had similar rates. Minorities were less likely to get influenza vaccination, less likely to get pneumococcal vaccination, 48%, compared to the minority white group at 60%, and the white-white group at 68% received pneumococcal immunizations. And for pneumococcal immunizations on the right, the relationship between white whites and minority white was significant in that minority whites had, again, an intermediate rate of immunizations between white white and minority minority. We did not find any statistically significant difference in any of our cancer screening indicators. We looked at cervical cancer, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and prostate cancer. We did find differences between the white-white and minority-minority group, which has previously been shown in the literature, so we didn't add anything there, but there was no difference between the minority-minority and the minority-white groups for cancer screening. So comparing individuals who self-identify as minorities, any self-identified minority, whether they regarded themselves as being classified as white or not, they were equally likely to have a medical home or to have a personal physician. However, individuals perceived as minority were more than almost twice as likely to report healthcare discrimination in the last 12 months. Further, if they were perceived as minority, they were less likely to receive both influenza and pneumococcal vaccinations. But cancer screening rates there were no difference in cancer screening rates between these two groups. So our study suggests that there is a distinct group who self-identifies as minority, but may have different health outcomes and access to health care compared to those who are perceived by society as being minority. The implications for you and I as healthcare providers and researchers, I think, is threefold. First, this suggests that there are differences within minorities that are not being addressed and they're not being identified, and so I suggest to you that you may consider including this as a variable in trying to understand disparities work. Second, as we demonstrated here, there is a distinct group who may be enjoying a certain advantage in terms of health and health outcomes. And another study by Jones, 2008, also found that there was a subgroup of minorities who may be enjoying a certain benefit. And so because of that, because traditional classification groups them all together, we may be obscuring differences that exist there. And we may be attenuating the effect of the attenuating disparities that are existing. Third, I believe that healthcare bias is unfortunately being perpetuated based on stereotypes and based on appearances, and this is yet another reason for us to call for a reduction, for an awareness among healthcare providers and researchers about the existence of biases and when we interact with patients. And I invite you to think of any other implications that this may have for research and healthcare provision. So with that, I would like to acknowledge my wonderful research advisors, Drs. Mayor Desai and Dr. Marcela Nunez-Smith. Thank you for all your support and guidance. Some of our collaborators, Dr. Lewis and Dr. Jones, some of our collaborators at CDC, Dr. Jones and Dr. Perry, the Yale School of Medicine, and the Graduate Medical Education Department of Emergency Medicine, who allowed me to be here today. Thank you.